Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me today. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you use those to your advantage because we built them just for you. Pam Danziger is with us. She's on our website. She contributes a lot to the things that we make available to you on our websites. And she's an internationally known expert on consumer marketing. She is the president of Unity Marketing. She's the author of Why People Buy Things They Don't Need. And also her newest book is called Shopping, Simply Shopping, which has become one of my wife's favorite books because it has, you know, that's everything, shopping, right? Right, Pam?
That's right. That's what some of us live for, I guess.
Welcome back, Pam. How you doing?
It's great. It's great to be here with you this morning.
It's good to have you here. Pam, the economy is well known, and people generally accept the economy has a number of challenges right now. I still believe there's no question that there are some fundamental problems. We got $92 a barrel oil, $3 a gallon gas. We got, thankfully interest rates have come back down. The Fed's helped us out with that a little bit. But we got a lot of other problems. The financial markets have been taking a hit. And so there's the housing industry is on its heels. There are a lot of challenges out there. But I still think the most volatile piece of real estate is the 6 inches between our ears. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right.
We're talking ourselves into this, aren't we?
Well, I really don't know. I think that there is a lot of pain out there as you look around the economy, particularly middle-class people. We're middle-class and, you know, middle-income people. In fact, I was just doing an analysis for a new report, and I don't need to get into the details of that new report, but it was interesting to see how people in the $50,000 to $75,000 household income range spent less than people from $30,000 to $50,000 in many categories. And, you know, all I could attribute that to
Dollars? You're not talking about as a percentage of income, right? You're talking less dollars.
No, I'm talking just about spending. You know, I was doing a study of the home decorating market and just seeing the exuberance of people from, you know, 25 to 50 versus the people who were at 50 to 75 were more cautious. And all I could attribute that to, as I looked at the data, was one, they had mortgages and they were probably pushing the limits of what their income could allow. The lower income people had a much higher incidence of renting, and probably were not as stretched financially. And I think that some of this, you know, consumer culture is in fact going to come back and bite us. And I mean, as appropriately it should. Maybe we've just stretched ourselves a little too far.
Isn't that an awful thing for a person who is shopping to say? Who are you, Pam? And what have you done with our Pam?
I know.
The pod people have taken over my Pam Danziger.
Well, you got to look at the reality. And, you know, if that's the case, then people who are in business who have benefited from the overexuberance, benefited from kind of this wild shopping spree we've been on, are really going to have to adjust their strategies to weather the storm and really be at the top of their game, because it is going to get to be a more, I envision the net this year, 2008, is going to be a much more competitive marketplace, because people aren't going to be as willing to buy impulsively.
I wonder if there's another thing, though, with regard to the differences that you're talking about in the two income groups. I wonder if the upper income groups have already got a lot of the cool stuff that they want. They've already got either they're paying for it or it's paid for, but they already have it. They don't need another plasma television. They don't need another SUV. Whereas the people in the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 range, they still want some of that stuff.
Well,
is that possible?
Yes, you know, it would suggest that, but then when we looked at from 50 to 75, they were kind of much more cautious, but from 75 and above, they were spending a lot of money.
Rocking and rolling. So you're not saying the luxury shopper is tapped out, are you?
Oh, no, not yet, but... You know, and I don't think, I mean, the conventional wisdom that they are not touched by any of this, these kind of economic ups and downs. But the reality, the true reality today is even the luxury shopper, and that's people about 75 and above, that represents about the top 25% mm-hmm. of households by income, are feeling the pain this time because their stock markets, portfolios are taking a hit.
Let me tell you something else that I saw recently. That I have discovered is that may be happening in the marketplace out there. Credit card companies may be adjusting people's credit limits.
Oh, that may very well.
And maybe some of the things that I've seen, maybe even without telling them.
Yeah. Well.
See, because if you've got a MasterCard out there with with a $3,000 limit. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the credit card companies quite often will check your credit on a regular basis. Did you know that? They'll check your credit on a regular basis. If you've got an open account out there, $2,000-$3,000 mm-hmm. account or whatever mm-hmm. Credit limit, if there's something on your credit report that they don't like, they'll cut you back or cut you off. Now, that's something that I've seen happening over the last few months, and I wonder if that's people want to buy but they go out there and they can't.
Yeah, well, just don't tell Nordstrom about that because I don't want them cutting my credit on my credit card.
But seriously, I think this is something that may be out there. That it's a way of the credit card companies to protect themselves.
Yeah, well, they should protect themselves because they're really getting hit now with the mortgage and crisis. And I think we have a responsibility. I mean, if we're going to be consumers, we have a responsibility for being informed consumers. I mean,
right.
It's interesting. I mean, kind of because I've got to look at it two ways. And from a business point of view, marketers and retailers and people in business have really got to focus on the consumer mm-hmm. and really make shopping with them or servicing them be an experience so that people are willing to spend more.
Well,
at the
see
same
that's
time,
what
you
I've
don't
been
want them to spend too much,
That's what I've been telling
broke.
My audience is quit listening to the Wall Street talking heads and listen and start listening to your customers.
You bet.
We're going to talk a little bit more about this with Pam Denziger right after these messages. She's the author of the book Shopping. Right after these messages, stay with us. We'll be right back.
And the range of useful information you bring to your listeners is staggering.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Pam Denziger. Pam, give us your website, please.
My website's www.unitymarketingonline.com, and it is stuffed full of content and information about, why people buy things they don't need, so in all kinds of categories.
And sometimes we like that. We don't care. We know it's not up to us, Pam, to make the decisions for folks whether they need it or not. It's our job to open our doors and let them make decisions. They're three times, as a friend of mine used to say, they're three times seven. They're 21. They can make their decisions.
That's the
books
the truth.
You can find out more about the books there too, right?
Yes, my three books are there, and I've just put the proposal together for the fourth. So it's going on the market this week. So if any publishers want to get in on it,
Well, they're all listening. They're all listening right now. So I'm sure you'll be flooded with phone calls any minute now.
Yeah.
Pam, what kind of advice do you give to retailers who serve who serve the consumer, what are your suggestions for how to make sure we get the maximum opportunity to do business with those? Because, you know, never mind whether they should be buying it or not. That's their decision. The main thing is what we want to make sure is that as small business owners, we give them the maximum opportunity to do business with us and not with the big boxes.
Exactly. Absolutely true. And, you know, the fact is, my company's name is Unity Marketing, so I focus on marketing, and that's where my focus is. And if you go to college, what you find out is, you know, they teach you that marketing is the four P's of marketing: price, promotion, placement, and product. And that's the key things that you have to, four key variables that you have to manage to market successfully. But the reality is, I mean, the true reality is that the missing P is the people P, the P. People, and that's the most important P, because the people, the consumer, the customer you're trying to sell is the first principle of marketing. All the other stuff, the pricing, product, promotion, and placement, all of that stuff is far less important than the consumer. So we're in a tight time, we are in a competitive environment, and it doesn't matter whether you have a store that is selling, you know, greeting cards or gifts or home furnishings, or you're a dry cleaner, or you're selling gasoline and, you know, convenience store. Whatever it is that you're selling, focus on your customer first. Who's coming in that door, and how you can delight them, how you can make a difference in their lives. I mean, it sounds kind of silly, you know, well, I'm just cleaning their clothes. How can I make a difference? But you can. I mean, the ladies at my dry cleaners, they know me. They always go get my clothes before, you know, before I say my name. I mean, that makes a difference.
Well, whenever we buy things these days, and I think this is really something that's become a human phenomenon in the last 10 or 15 years or so. I mean, but years ago, we've always liked the high touch, as Nesbitt called it, but I think it's really becoming more of something that we gravitate to, and so more and more, I think when we buy things, when we think about going and making a purchase of any kind, whether it be a gallon of milk or you know, something expensive, you know, I don't know about you, but when I do that, I think about, okay, yeah, I remember what that person looked like in there, or I remember the last time I was there, I didn't like it, so I'm going to go somewhere else, or you know what I mean? In my mind, I have this little movie, movie about what happened the last time, or if it's a place I've never been, I play this little preview of what I wish it was like.
Yeah.
And it all happens like a dream in a half a second, but we do it, don't we?
Yes, we certainly do. Well, you know, we live in an anonymous world. You know, we are a number, and, you know, it's like we're so, in so many ways, so out of touch that we really do want to rub shoulders with people and get to know people and really understand them at a deeper level than just, you know, just taking their credit card or taking their cash and
putting
it
in the door. That's exactly what Nesbitt said 27 years ago in Megatrends. He says the more we have high tech, the more we will want high touch. His words have never been truer than they are today.
That's the truth, and you know, you know so many small businesses may think that that's happening, but they have to look at, you know, their staff are the staff living up to the expectations of the boss? And really, the boss sets the tone. I mean, in my book Shopping, we had one example of a woman who owns three stores, and she's just, you know, building a huge business in Atchison, Kansas. 90% of her customers drive more than an hour to get to her store.
Wow.
Which is, you know, again, it's Hawaii. So she's created a true destination shop. Well, she says that her manager has an office in the store, but she doesn't. Her Mary Carol Garrity is her name, and she works on the floor. She says, my job is to be on the floor with the customers.
The owner doesn't have an office in the business.
She had no office. And, you know, I gave a speech. I just was up in Canada giving a speech to a group of retailers, and a woman came up to me after the talk, and she said, you just convinced me that I have to do, you know, what I was planning or what I was didn't know whether I should do. She said, I'm hiring somebody to come and do the books because I'm spending two minutes doing the books.
Not doing the things that she's best at and the customers need her to be doing.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's the people equation from the other side, from the business side. You know, put the right people into the right
places. Delegate
the accounting. Nobody can be as excited about your business as the owner.
Delegate the accounting, not the people part.
You bet.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, well said. Give us that website again, Pam.
www.unitymarketingonline.com.
Thank you, Pam, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Pam Danziger, ladies and gentlemen, Danziger. Quick break. Right back with Pierce and Jane Howard, 29 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.